In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's given the name Jesus. It's the name of Moses' successor, the one who led his people through the Jordan on dry ground. Moses led them out of slavery, but Joshua led them into the promised land. His name means the Lord saves. As the angel Gabriel explained to Saint Joseph, he is to be named Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. His mother and adopted father don't have the honor of naming him. For while Adam named all earth's creatures, this child is no creature but the Creator. He is the Alpha and Omega, without beginning or end. He names himself. He names himself Jesus. For he saves his people. Nor did he have any need to keep the covenant with the God of Abraham, for he is the God of Abraham. He doesn't need to be marked as God's own, rather he submits to his own law. He feels the blade forged by human hands against his tender infant's skin, and his blood flows for the sins of the world for the first time, bringing circumcision to an end. Yet his circumcision does as his baptism did. It marks and anoints him as the sin bearer, as the friend and brother of sinners. Jesus was circumcised that you don't have to be. By the knife, the infant Lord's fate is sealed just as surely as it was in John's baptism. Jesus took up your flesh to be your circumcision, to be the flesh cut off, the sin separated from you forever. The God of Abraham keeps the covenant for you in himself, and he transfers this to you in the waters of holy baptism, where by grace you receive his name and all that goes with it, the service of angels, dominion over creation, the right to address God as Father, a perfect keeping of the law, and even heaven. His circumcision counts for those who bear his holy name, whom he calls beloved, darling, children, and whom you call Christian. Jesus is himself the watery cross marking your forehead to ward off the angel of death. In him, it's as though you never rebelled, never transgressed, never sinned. How can this be? By the satisfaction and appeasement of God's wrath in Jesus' perfect death. Jesus suffered the consequences for all those who had or would break the law, though he himself never did. He was cut off from his people and forsaken. He who subjected himself to circumcision to fulfill the law bled again as he died that shameful death for sins he didn't commit. And the blood he shed by circumcision, by the mocking soldier's lashes, and on the cross is the blood that appeases the Father's wrath, washes you clean, and fills the chalice with the elixir of life. Jesus bears those scars as badges of his office into eternity, even as you bear his mark, the sign of his love, his name, into eternity. By his name, you have access to him. You call upon him and he answers. Even as the prohibition against images of the divine was lifted when God took on flesh and obtained a face so that you could then imagine him and have paintings and statues and so forth, so also when he took on flesh, he granted you a more intimate access than men had had before. You know God's most personal name. You have more given to you than those who knew him in the tabernacle or temple by smoke and fire. He dwells among you as a man, in a tent made of skin, bruised and bloody and put to death and back to life again, and still he is a man, still one of us. Not only can you imagine what he looks like, since he has a face, but you can know him as a man, with the name of your father in the faith, with a name you might even give your own sons, and indeed a name that some have even given to their own sons even here now today, a human name, for he is Jesus, the divine and eternal Joshua. That's why you don't call him Yahweh or Jehovah. You won't find any collects of the church addressed to Yahweh. That name was given to the Hebrews in the time before his coming. You have a fuller and greater revelation. Jesus is not simply he who is, though he is, but he is he who is, who saves his people by means of his own life and death, who wears your skin, who reveals himself now as the God who is love, and who puts that fullest of all names, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, upon you for your eternal benefit. For baptism is far greater than circumcision, even as the Lord's Supper is far greater than the Passover or Sabbath. When you pine for the Levitical laws and the glories of ancient Israel, it's like the Israelites feasting on manna and quail in the desert, but pining for cucumbers in Egypt. The Lord has given you greater things. Prophets and kings longed for what you now have. Baptism is greater because it's not just for boys. It's not bloody and doesn't hurt, but it is deadly. It drowns the old man even as it raises up the new, joining you to God in Christ. Baptism places God's name upon you because Jesus was baptized, because he was anointed to be the sacrifice. As his circumcision ended and fulfilled circumcision and counts for you, so his baptism began baptism and counts for you. And as he was born under the law, so you are born again from above. Unless you're bold to eat his body and drink his blood, to call him Jesus as though he were your friend and your brother, as well as your king and your God. For he is. Maybe you want a party to forget the last year, yet you come here to remember and proclaim the death he died, to pray his name and call his blessing down upon yourself. You come to Jesus that you may prosper by his gift and be delighted in the holy banquet he spreads before you, that you might turn the page with the promise that 2024 is his time and year. For all that you can or ought to desire is in him. He is your salvation and redemption, your hope and strength, your honor and glory. So it is that the old creation and the old way of life passed away on the eighth day. For in 7 days God created all that exists and rested. On the sixth day the Lord died and rested in the tomb on the seventh. Thus the eighth day is both the day of circumcision and of resurrection. It's the day of new life. For in Jesus all things are made new. You are made new. Instead of resolutions that won't be kept and things that'll fail to live up to their excitement, Jesus gives you new life in himself as he joins you to himself in holy baptism, as he forgives you in holy absolution, as you feast on his holy flesh and precious blood in the Holy Communion. In spite of all the unavoidable changes in the coming year, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, or even the changes in the years to come, Jesus remains. The Father subjected him to the law and to circumcision for your sake, in order to make you his own, to give you his kingdom, which he bestows by baptism, absolution, and the Holy Communion. These things remain, no matter what else in your life changes or is uncertain. Of course, his name is Jesus. He saves his people. He saves even you. In Jesus' name,
amen.